Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Totally Driven Entertainment Radio Network.
In the future, none of you are heroes.
Hard Talk Volume 69. I am Big Daddy, and I'm joined by my co-host, Felicia Brown, the beautiful Felicia Brown.
Well, thank you. Hi, everyone. Hello, Big Daddy.
How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Doing really well. Hope all is well with you and all our listeners. My weekend
was great.
Weekend? My weekend was
good.
Yeah, really good. Did some fun things. Some I'll talk about on the show today.
Yes. We're on June 5th, 2017. I'm sorry, I got sidetracked a little bit because you know that Cosby trial started. And surprisingly, he's getting walked into the courtroom by can't remember the girl's name, but anyway, Rudy Huxtable.
Oh, really?
Her real name is Keisha Knight Poon. There you go.
Mm-hmm.
She stood by his side and walked into the courthouse with him. And I think that's cool. That's one of the Cosby kids that's sticking by him. I think that's cool. Anyway,
it is cool.
Can you hear me all right?
I can hear you fine.
Okay, just checking. Yes. We're going to touch on a couple of subjects here. We're going to talk about the Kathy Griffin thing. I want to talk about Bill Maher a little bit. He got in a little bit of trouble over these last couple of days, too. I want to talk about the NBA Finals, or lack thereof. I want to talk about, you know, Felicia went on a trip to D.C., and was at the African American Museum, and she's going to talk about that and what she experienced, and which is a good thing. And maybe one day I'll make my way down there. But I'm glad you went and you had a chance to experience that. So I really want you to express, you know, what you saw down there with our listeners. And
absolutely,
we're going to talk about the WWE pay per view last night, which briefly started hot. Got lukewarm, went a little cold, and then finished out fire. So it was an up and down pay-per-view. And then we'll do a movie review. We'll talk about Wonder Woman. And then we'll put a bow on this and send it home. How that sound?
That sounds good to me.
All right. Kathy Griffin. Now, I didn't see exactly the sketch she did or whatever. And I saw the aftermath of what happened. So I saw the fact that she got fired from, was she MSNBC? She wasn't Fox News.
I thought it was CNN, wasn't it? Or
it might have been CNN. Yeah, matter of fact, it was CNN. She got fired from CNN from comments that she made about President Trump. Oh, that's hard for me to say. But, she made comments, and they fired her, so she went speaking out against, you know, her getting fired and said she was broken, and now he finally broke her and this, that, and the fourth.
Was it
my
her comments or her depiction? Because that's my understanding that it was her depiction of him.
Yeah, that's a better word for it. That's why I like you college-educated people. Oh. That's a better word for it. Yeah. It was pretty much her holding up his head, dripped in blood. It was really a poor taste. Okay. I'm going to say this. Do I like Donald Trump as our president? Hell no. But he is our president. He is the commander-in-chief. And it's hard for me to say that without throwing up a little bit in my mouth. But it's true. That's who he is. So let him do what he's going to do. He's going to screw up. Let's not keep in these people, I'm talking about like Hollywood people, keep going to hell, like taking digs at him, taking digs at him, because I think they're trying to help their careers more than trying to speak about what's going on in America. I just think they're really trying to help their careers, because, and I'm not being disrespectful to Kathy Griffin, but what has she really done lately? And she did that, and now she's all over the news.
Mm-hmm.
So let's just back off a little bit. Let him screw up what he's going to screw up. Just watch what he does. And then if you really want to make a difference, in 4 years, hit the polls like you're supposed to and vote his ass out of there. But it's not too much more we could do right now. What's your opinion, Felicia?
It's the truth, but, you know, sadly, we did hit the polls, and our vote did put Hillary in office, but it's
yeah,
an electoral college, and, you know, whatever happened with that. It's not the first time we've seen something like that happen. You know, it happened with Gore and who was that, Bush again. So, you know, it happened, but now we just need to move on, and I think that, you know, there's hypocrites on both sides, because we always say freedom of speech, you know, this and that. But then they draw a line as to what you can say and, you know, when and how and who about. So it needs to be clarified, you know. It's like, do we live in a politically correct world or not? And I don't know. But my thing is, they know who Kathy Griffin is. You notice she's raunchy and crass and, you know, so you knew she was going to do something like that. Do I agree with what she did? No, not in the venue that she did it or the avenue she used to do it. I don't agree with that. You know, being a figure, you have to watch what you do. It's not like she did it on the internet. She did it on, you know. Or she could have did it on the internet. I didn't see, you know, where exactly she did it from. But if you're a figure, you have to uphold certain things, and you know that there's going to be certain consequences. So maybe she did want that attention, and maybe she just didn't care. But at the same token, like I said, going back to the hypocrisy, things about other presidents were said, you know, worse than being said now. To the same extent about what, you know, same extent of what's being said now, and nobody really did anything. So once again, we need to draw that line as to, you know, what can we say and what can't we say, because you can't, you know, close up eye or turn the cheek to everything that was said about our president before Trump and, you know, pitch a fit about everything that's being said about Trump now. So we just need to pick.
Basically, you know, and I'm a hit right on what you're saying. When they was putting mannequins of Obama up with nooses around his neck, nobody said crap. When they were calling him monkeys and coons and instead of you know how he had the thing Hope, the thing with rope and had a rope around his neck, nobody said jack. But she did that against Trump, and everybody was up in arms. But I digress.
Right.
But that's pretty much what, you know what I'm saying? But we do have freedom to speak our minds and freedom of press and all that good stuff. But it's just when you get certain people in office, people get a little sensitive. And they
right.
Everybody, it seemed like nobody likes Trump, but somebody got to like him because his ass did it.
You
so somebody did
something. Right. I don't know. You posted a video of the comedian and actor Jim Carrey saying something. I didn't watch it. What did he say?
He pretty much, if I can remember correctly, because I posted that a couple of days ago. You know my memory got hit the head 120 times and still chairs. But he was pretty much
no,
saying.
That's you.
He was pretty much saying, like, okay, everybody jumped on her, but you know, you have this idiot in office who's doing this and that, and we have to take control of our situation, kind of thing. You know what I'm saying? That, well, not verbatim what he said, but that's pretty much what he had meant. It was just that he's in office, you can speak your mind, but somebody voted his ass in there.
Yeah,
so,
I agree, and, you know, that's a good point, because if you look at what he's doing now, he pretty much, like, diminished and, you know, ridiculed the leader of London right now, the mayor of London. You know, he called him, pretty much he called him stupid and, you know, that he's not doing a good job. So how is he able to, you know, talk about other people this way? And once we say something about him, it's like, oh, rah, rah, rah. It's hypocritical.
It's very hypocritical. And funny, I'm going to bring this up. Jim Cornette has, you know, he has his little radio show, whatever. And somebody from a different country wrote in, or emailed him, rather, saying how dumb Americans are because you let Donald Trump get in office and Donald Trump's this and that, blah, blah, blah. And Jim Cornette was like, you know, I couldn't even answer him back because he's right. The fact that we let him in office is just stupid. The fact that we let a racist be commander-in-chief is a joke. And this is somebody from a total different country that sees this and saying, like, this is a joke. So, you know, all these foreign countries now look at us as a joke.
Right.
And it's sad. Because they went from cheering us when we voted Obama in to now saying, oh, you guys are stupid. And it's just a trend. And the way he's attacking foreign countries and the way he did it, that was that NATO conference where he's butting in front of people to make sure he's out in front doing pictures and stuff. It's frustrating. It's very frustrating.
Very, very frustrating. Lots of prayer.
Yeah. And that's the only good thing, and just listen to what I'm saying, that's the only good thing that came out of him, the orange one getting in office, is that it made more people get down on their knees and start praying. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, look, because this is the end of times, and you got the right one in office, and this guy is the alpha male with his finger on the trigger, with his finger on the button. That's crazy. And there's a big ass black bear stuck in a damn tree in Feasterville. Wow. Anyway.
All right.
It's a big ass bear. Anyway, I'm sorry. While we're talking about Washington, Valicia took a trip to D.C. Saturday and went to the African American History Museum. And break it down to us.
I did. I went to Washington, which is an amazing experience in itself. You know, you can be mad at the country like I am. You can, you know, not like it sometimes like I don't, but Washington is our, you know, our central, our pinnacle. So I really do respect it. And I know that not all that came out of it was bad. So I took a trip down to D.C. I visited the Martin Luther King Memorial first. I didn't get a chance to see the Lincoln Memorial, which is what I really wanted to see. It's a notable landmark. When you see the Martin Luther King Memorial, it's a really, really, like, nice experience. It's really prideful. They have like the sayings on the walls, and his statue is just standing there, and it's overlooking, you know, a body of water, and it's just really nice, and it really shows you, you know, how peaceful he was. He was a man of peace,
mm-hmm.
so
mm-hmm.
I recommend anybody take a trip to Washington. After that, I visited the fairly new National Museum of African American History and Culture. It's part of the Smithsonian Institute. It is fairly new. I think it's like a few years old. And right off the bat, I'll tell you, it's a very overwhelming experience. It's a very overwhelming
mm-hmm.
experience. There's so much to see. They start off with like the 1800s slavery, and they go all the way to present day. So it's a trip that you cannot cover in a few hours or one day. You really do have to go down two times. And, you know, thankfully the tickets are free. You just have to keep watch on the internet as to when they put up the tickets, so you can make sure you grab yours, but the tickets are free. Yeah, they split it up into, like, concourses and levels. So, like, the bottom level would be, like, the 1800s and slavery and how slavery came about, how it worked, the segregation and all that. The second level would be the exploration level. So it's a lot of interactive things, you know, a lot of hands-on things. And then the third level is modern day, you know, like Motown and stuff like that. So it's a really fulfilling experience if you're looking to learn, if you're looking to, you know, refresh your memory on African-American history. And, you know, I'll say it, that African-American history is American history. It happened in America. You know, it happened to people in America, and, you know, it's happening in America. So that's American history. So I would say to people, don't be ignorant. Please learn and, you know, visit this museum. Not to talk too much about race, but I will say that we as, you know, black people need to do better, because I've seen a lot, if not more, Caucasian people at this museum, and it looked like they were really trying to learn. You know, I don't think they would waste their time. Huh?
I said, really?
Yeah, I don't think they would waste their time, you know, if they were, you know, not interested in learning. So we as a people, we need to go back and learn. And it seemed like a lot of the kids that were there were part of, like, schools and groups. But I would say to parents that we need to just take our kids there, you know, just because, just to learn.
Mm-hmm.
The person, one of the people I was with, she's in college, and she asked me who Emmett Till was. And I was absolutely appalled by that. So, I mean, you know, it's not always up. I know we say the schools need to teach it more, the schools aren't teaching it more, but it's also up to us to learn and research ourselves, too, so we can be more powerful, because we already are powerful, but we can be more powerful. We need to know what to do with our power. So that was my experience. I'm definitely going to go again. Yes, Big Daddy, I hope you go again. I hope you go, not again. I hope you go. It's a really good experience. It's very overwhelming. You know, aside from that, it's lots of walking, lots of waiting in line. So wear sneakers and, you know, just be ready for all that. But it was a wonderful, wonderful experience. It's, the museum is very beautiful, very well put together. And I just had a really nice time. I, you know, recommend anybody go. So that was my weekend.
What was the general mood of everybody down there? Like, was it like, were people happy? Like, did people seem friendly? Did you have like an air of like, you know, confusion?
Yeah, I mean, When there's a certain memorial in the museum, it's the Emmett Till Memorial, and it's very, like, somber. They have the actual casket that he was in down there. And when I left, you know, you go in one way and you come out the other. When I left, I walked past a Caucasian woman who was older, and she looked like she was really, you know, like studying, you know, all the pictures and stuff and all the literature that was out there. And I kind of felt, oh, you know, like maybe attention, like, look what happened, you know, this is what happened to us and you're still doing it. But I didn't get that feel anywhere else in the museum, you know. It really felt like it was just any other museum. People were just there to learn and observe and look at things. So the overall feel was pretty nice. If anything, like I said, it was our people, you know, not really paying attention, the younger people. So I would just like to see us more involved and more interested in our own culture. Of course, most of the African-American people I saw there were older, so. But I would just like to see a lot more teens and youth really excited about learning about who they are.
What was the old saying, and I don't know if Jesse Jackson said it, or I don't know if Al Sharpton said it, each one, teach one, reach one, teach
yeah.
one.
Yeah, we still say that, as educators.
You hit the hammer on the nail. You nailed it. I'm stuttering all today. You nailed it when you said we have to teach our own kids. Mm-hmm. Don't rely on the school system to teach them. Because, and I shared this with you before, I went to an all-white, predominantly white high school.
Mm-hmm.
So when it came time to do Black history, in history class, it was done maybe 1 week in February. And, of course, it was Frederick Douglass, Harriet Tubman, bippity-boppity-boo, Martin Luther King. And even with that, it was an uncomfortable feeling learning this or hearing this in an all-white school because the majority of the kids was either poking fun or saying little smart stuff and this, that, and the fourth. So it was just one teacher I had, Miss Brady. And Miss Brady, if you listen, and I love you. Miss Brady was the only one that actually broke it down when it went further than that. And she gave homework and she made us read stuff about Black history. Because she was dating a Black man on a secret, on a low low. She retired now. It is what it is. I can say it. But she was dating a Black man. And so she knew what the somewhat of the struggle was. And she really broke it down. And I appreciate mm-hmm. that. But a lot of the stuff that I learned was because of me and the fact that my parents had a whole African-American. And I, to the life of me, don't know what happened. But we had an encyclopedia. That was all African-American encyclopedia in our home. So mm-hmm. we could go get any book we wanted and looked up whatever. Now, did my sister and I take advantage of it? Not as much as we should have. Because we only really pulled them books out when you had homework to do or something to that, towards that effect. Well, we should be reading that joint like every other day. But my parents took the time to get this for us, and I appreciate my parents for that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we have to do as parents, is that educate our kids. We got to do it. Just like you said, if you could plan a trip to Wildwood, if you could plan a trip mm-hmm. to Disney, you could plan a trip to wherever you want to plan a trip to. You could plan a trip to go down to D.C. and take your kids to this museum. And there's an African-American museum in Philadelphia that's nobody mm-hmm. really going to like that.
No, I'm guilty not going to that one, huh?
Yeah, I went there once. But, and I'm, you know, I could have went back more than that. I went once when it first opened and it was what it was. But we have to, and when my kids was young, I should have took them. So I'm talking to myself. You know what I'm saying? I could have took them there, but I chose not to. I took them to the Franklin Institute. I could have took them to that museum. And we used to go to the Franklin Institute. Shoot, it wasn't every other week. I like the Franklin Institute. Anyway, we really got to educate our kids, long story short. And I appreciate you for going. And maybe we should take a trip down there one day so we both can go.
Absolutely.
I'd like to experience that for myself.
It's not that long of a drive. I got there in the time I said I would, so I would.
I knew you was gonna go there. Anybody who's listening, her and I was talking about this trip. I said it's about a 3-hour drive to DC. She said no, it was like 2.5, maybe 2 hours, and they got there in 2 hours. So somebody must have been flying. If you do it a speed limit, it take 3 hours.
Well, whatever. Whatever. Maybe he took a different road than you.
Yeah. Okay. Next thing I wanted to talk about, and thank you, Felicia, for sharing your story with us. Appreciate
Absolutely.
I want to talk about. Anybody that's listening, here's my opinion. People inboxing me, people texting me, asking me my opinion on the NBA Finals.
Yeah. Don't do it, people.
Because I'm going to tell you straight up, I don't give a rat's butt. In the NBA, and I put something on my my Facebook wall today, and this was a reporter talking about his opinion on the NBA Finals. And it's bullcrap. It's bullcrap. And the NBA has painted themselves into a corner that now they can't get out of. And the reason why I'm saying this is that they allowed for players to all get together and these two great big mega teams to meet up, fight each other in the finals, but one mega team is better than the other mega team, and they're blowing this other out. There was two games in the NBA Finals so far, and both of them was bullcrap. And I was thinking, okay, this is going to be the big to-do, the big hurrah, it's going to go 7 games, then we're going to try to drag this out, whatever. No, I don't see Cleveland winning a game in this series. After what I just saw, unless they get back to Cleveland and Super LeBron pulls out his red cape and takes his game over, the Golden State Warriors are probably going to sweep them, and that would make for the Golden State Warriors to win through the entire playoffs without being defeated. Never heard of. It's unheard of. And that's why a lot of people are disappointed in this season. Because you had this great big mega team with 4 to 5 superstars just murdering teams. But then on top of that, even during the season ain't what it used to be. Because back in the day, and I'm pulling a Jim Cornette, and I'm going back in the day. But back in the day, if you paid money to watch the Chicago Bulls play, you saw Michael Jordan, you saw Scottie, you saw Horace Grant, you saw Bill Cartwright, and all this stuff. And I just went back. I dated myself. But this is the players that you see. If you paid to see New York play, you saw Patrick Ewing, you saw Charles Oakley, blah, blah, blah. Now, you'll be lucky if you pay money to go down to the well, because, you know, the Sixers haven't had the greatest record. So you paid your hard-earned money, and your kids wanted you to take them because they wanted to see a certain player. There's a strong possibility that player might not even play that game because they decided to rest this player. And it's unsightly, and they're resting them for the playoffs, which they're playing now. And they're still not playing up to where they should be. Back in the day, a top NBA person played 82 games a year unless they were really injured. you just didn't sit him out because, okay, well, we're only playing Philadelphia, I'm going to sit you out. Or we're only playing Memphis, I'm going to sit you out. No. You played them. You wanted to see these play. These players wanted to get at one another. There was a rivalry. Every time Boston came to Philadelphia, you knew Larry Bird and Doc was going to get in it. When you seen Detroit play Los Angeles, you knew Magic and Isaiah, as much as they were friends, and probably still are friends, they wanted to kill one another on the court. They might have kissed each other before the game started, but at the end of that game, they was pissed at each other. They went from kissing to pissing. And that's what they did. And that's my opinion of the NBA. And I am an NBA fan. You like that one, huh? Kissing the pissing. I am a diehard NBA fan. I love the Philadelphia 76ers. I bleed red, white, and blue. Anything the Philadelphia 76ers ask me to do, I will do and have done to the best of my ability. But the current state of the NBA now is depressing, and I hope that we could turn this culture around where these players all want to get together. We can have this great big mega team, and we're going to run through the NBA, dance and celebrate, and then you get the Super Bowl calling them up and talking about, that's my team, I want to see my team play. And no. That's not your team.
Shit.
Because they're winning now, it's just. Tell me who played for them 10 years ago. Tell me who played for them 20 years ago. I could do it, but I bet they can't. So as far as the NBA final go, and you really want me to say who I want to see win? I hope the Golden State Warriors win these next two games and just get it the hell over with so we can all go on and out with our lives and the NBA draft come up and we draft with a third pick or wherever pick we want to draft at, because I just saw Brian Colangelo on TV now. Somebody might trade the pick for something else. Or whatever's going to happen, let it happen. Because this season was a bust all the way around. It was a bust. And the fact that we waited all this time since Halloween, when the season started right before Halloween, till now. This is what we all wanted. This is all we were waiting for was now. And now you see the Golden State Warriors like a pickup game against the Cleveland Cavaliers. And it's boring. I'd rather had watched the WWE pay-per-view than watch the finals last night.
Isn't that what you did?
And I did do that. But I did watch some, because if you go on NBA Comcast got an NBA channel, and you can watch the replay. And I started watching a little bit of replay, and I got bored and turned it off. Game one of the whole game and got bored. They got to do better. They got to do better. Hope we're still on.
Hello?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. All right, cool. But that's my opinion. Did you have an opinion?
Yeah, it's funny because I actually looked at, if anybody's familiar with the app TimeHop, it shows you what you posted on, you know, all forms of social media, you know, on the same day but years ago. And I said anyone but LeBron. So we were in the same situation last year. Golden State was up, and the Cavs hawked up and magically started, you know, winning. And Golden State started playing poorly out of nowhere. So expect to see that again. You know, I'm like you. I want Golden State to win. But, you know, they're pulling for King LeBron. I call him Queen LeBron. So it is what it is. I don't care. I'm not invested in either team like you. I'm going
Exactly.
Sisters. So, you know, it is what it is. You'd be stupid not to think that this is rigged, just like the Super Bowl is rigged, you know. So
speak on it.
You know, I'm not going to speak on it because I'm not like, you know, a connoisseur on it, but I know enough
but
about
right.
sports to know. Yeah.
But you're right. Just like the NFL, the NBA is getting just as scripted. And I think Vince McMahon is working for everybody because that Dave, man, this is so scripted out.
I know. And, you know, people say, but wrestling is, you know, it is what it is. But we don't try to act like it isn't. We tell you it is, you know?
Exactly. It's out there. You know it is. Now, the result of the violence is fake, but I mean, the result of the violence is real, but everybody knows it's scripted, this, that, and the fourth. But the NBA is just as scripted, and you knew from the start of October who was going to be in the finals. Just like the NFL was. NFL, you didn't quite know that Atlanta Falcons was going to make it to the Super Bowl. Everybody was thinking it was going to be the Dallas Cowboys, which I would have loved, against the Patriots, but it didn't work out that way. But for a team to come back 25 down in a Super Bowl and win a game, I'm like, come on. But anyway, yeah. Yeah, we're in total agreement on that. So let me take this commercial break. We'll come back with the WWE pay-per-view and do a movie review and wrap it up. This is Big Daddy's Hard Talk, Volume 69. Oh, I shouldn't say it like that. Volume 69.
Attention business owners, website owners, event promoters, or anyone looking to promote your product. The Totally Driven Entertainment Radio Network is the perfect way to spread the word of your business around the world. That's right, you can advertise at our network and be played on all of our shows at rates that are so cheap, it's a no-brainer. For more information, contact Bay Ragney at bayragney@gmail.com. To keep your business driven, stay driven with Totally Driven Entertainment.
Are you a fan of Sherlock Holmes? Letters from Holmes offers unique, one-of-a-kind letters from the world-famous detective himself. Handwritten on 8.5-inch by 11-inch aged parchment paper and using smudge-free ink to produce original, high-quality letters that fans will treasure for years to come. Each letter is handcrafted and written from the perspective of Sherlock Holmes, mimicking Holmes's native tongue and embracing many of the famous detective's quirks, quips, insults, and peculiarities. Order a love letter, birthday greeting, personal correspondence, or more only at www.etsy.com/shop/lettersfromholmes.
For $5 today, you can buy a wealth of things. Gas for your car, rent a movie for the family, a few slices of pizza. $5 still takes you a long ways. But did you know that $5 can buy your child a bag of heroin in the streets? That's right. For only $5, your son or daughter can buy some of the cheapest and purest dope in the country. Be aware of the lies. Be aware of the stealing. Be aware that's all it takes to kill your child. $5. This message was brought to you by Casey's Cause, a group of parents located in southern Chester County out to save your child's life. Come join us today at www.caseyscause.com. And remember, $5 is all it takes. Casey's Cause, www.caseyscause.com.
Looking for that perfect gift for your girlfriend? Then look no further than Teddy Scares. Teddy Scares are available in a variety of styles, sizes, and prices for all your shopping needs. Teddy Scares are a mix of cute and creepy to make a great gift for almost any age. Board up your windows, lock your doors, and log on to TeddyScares.com. And be sure to become our friends at Facebook.com/TeddyScares.
Calling all comic book fans. Do you collect comics? Did you ever collect comics? Do you think your children might like reading comic books? Do you even know they still print real, paper, non-digital comic books? Well, then visit the Pirates of Ontario Street Comics in Philadelphia. We have a massive collection of comic books, action figures, trading cards, and much more. We have one of the largest stocks of back-issue comics in the area. We bag and board every new comic book at no extra charge. Our store is voted the best comic book shop in the 2013 PHL 17 Hot List Contest. Part of the movie Unbreakable is filmed in our store. We are open 7 days a week. Ontario Street Comics is located at 2235 East Ontario Street in the Port Richmond section of Philly. Our phone number is 215-288-7338. Type in the words Ontario Comics Philadelphia to check out our Wacky Stores page on Facebook.
And we're back. Big Daddy's Hard Talk, Volume 69. I am Big Daddy, joined by my lovely co-host, Felicia Brown.
Where is my issue of letters from home, Big Daddy?
Did you send away for it?
That was supposed to be my birthday gift from you, so where is it?
Oh, was it?
Yes.
My bad. My bad. I'm going to have to get that to you. What the fuck?
Thank you. I appreciate that.
By jolly. Good show. I'm going to deliver it to you with a little top hat, and I'm going to have a little monocle.
Yes.
And, like, hey, this is a letter from home.
You have to make me find it. Like, you have to leave clues.
Oh, yeah. Leave clues
your,
all around
your
Darby.
Your gift is in the corridor. Something like that.
Smashing. You have found it. But, last night, the WWE had Extreme Rules pay-per-view. It was the Raw-based pay-per-view. And all around, I'm going to give it, I'll give it a C, maybe a B minus. The opening match, I thought was hot. Miz and Dean Ambrose. I thought that the finish was smart. It was a smart finish, and it didn't end hokey. And it's still, you can tell this feud's going to go back and forth between them two, with Dean getting it back. Because this was the seventh time the Miz had held his belt. And where do you go from here with it? So you see, like, it's going to be a little bit of a, you know, a program between them two that's going to drag out, at least till SummerSlam. And I think it's good. Let it keep going. Let it grow. It is what it is. I think, and I was sitting there watching the Miz wrestle. And the announcers said that this was the Miz's 92nd pay-per-view.
Wow.
And I was like, damn, like, he's been around for a while and really hasn't faced too much injury. So he's safe in what he does.
Right. He's improved and, you know, he's impressive and, you know, where he came from. But Michael Cole and his dumb self called The Miz a veteran. Now, you're a wrestler, or, you know, you used to wrestle. At what point do you start calling people a veteran? Because if you do your research, you would know that Dean Ambrose has been wrestling since he's been, like, 15 years old, and he's now 31, so that's 16 years. So it's kind of like, when do you call people a veteran? But they don't want you to know that on TV. So, you know, they're trying to make it look like, oh, Miz was so smart, he was so crafty, and everything he did. And, you know, I just really wasn't feeling it at all. Not just because Ambrose lost the title, but because I think Ambrose should be moving on to other things. When Miz told Maurice to slap him, that should have happened at the top of the match. And Marie should have been, you know, kicked out at the top of the match, and they should have had a fair one. So I don't understand. But when do you start being called a veteran? Or is it just Michael Cole being an asshat?
It's a lot of Cole being an asshat. And you could blame Vince McMahon for that, too, because, no, they're not going to talk about Dean Ambrose's past. And they're not going to do that. All as far as WWE concerned, is how long you've been with them and not what you've done before them.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? Because even with when it came to Cena and Owens, and Cena going up to talking about, you got this going on, kid, or, you know, this kid got a future in front of him. Like, wait a minute, I've been wrestling just as long, if not longer than you have, motherfucker.
Longer than Cena has, yes.
You know what I'm saying? That's the same thing with AJ Styles. But they don't, you know what I'm saying? AJ been around and traveled and done a whole bunch of stuff, but he's a newcomer coming in. He's not new to this business. So to me, to answer your question, I think if you've been wrestling past 10, I say you're a veteran.
Okay.
My opinion.
So
it doesn't matter if you work for them. It doesn't matter if you work for them or anybody. If you've been bumping, doing shows, doing whatever, because here's a description with the average, the casual wrestler fan, or just people want to be a smart ass or whatever. When I first got to the business, I told people that I was a professional wrestler. They were like, you ever wrestle on TV? Like, no, not yet. Then you're not really professional in it. That's bullshit.
Yeah, it really is.
And they used to piss me off. You want to piss me off quick? Say that. And I would, excuse me if I said bullshit. And I'm sorry about that. But that would tick me off the worst. Because as soon as I finished wrestling school and I paid all the money I paid, I became a pro wrestler. Not how many times I was seen on TV, not how many times I traveled the world, whatever. As soon as I finished school, I was a professional. I ain't no amateur professional or nothing like that because you ain't been on TV. That is so stupid because there's a lot of great wrestlers that wrestled in the indies that never been on TV.
Right.
Or I'm not going to say that. Who haven't had a TV, like, who hasn't had a big contract to a major company?
Right, yeah.
One
and,
of them
you know,
off
you
the
have...
top of my – go ahead.
No, go ahead.
One of them off the top of my dome, as soon as I thought about that, I think of Glenn Osborne. Glenn Osborne never really got a major contract to any Fed or nothing like that. Osborne was one hell of a wrestler. And I enjoyed wrestling with Glenn Osborne. Glenn Osborne was one of the smoothest wrestlers I ever been in the ring with. But he never really got signed to any big contracts or nothing like that.
Mm.
So that's my opinion.
I was going to say, you know, you have companies like New Japan Pro Wrestling. Yes, they have their own little streaming site, but they actually choose not to be mainstream and go on TV. And I think that shows a level of exclusivity. It shows a standard, you know, that they have. So you don't really have to be on TV. I think once you're on TV, you lose focus of wrestling and you're focused on, you know, the glitz and glam of TV.
Sports
so.
Entertainment.
Right, exactly.
It stops being
wrong.
Wrestling and starts being sports entertainment.
Yeah.
And that's where I get pissed off.
But if you're saying what you just said, that would mean The Miz is a veteran because I believe he made his debut sometime around 2003, and he was like officially called up to the main roster, I think, 2006, I believe. So,
I would call him.
He would
be
a veteran.
This is a vet, but Dean Ambrose is a vet.
Yeah.
So you had two. If that's, you know what I'm saying? You can't say one's a vet and the other one isn't. It isn't because they haven't been there as long as the other. That's bullcrap.
Right.
So if the Miz is a vet, then Dean's a vet too. So that's where I'm at with it. Well, we got off the subject. What was he talking about? Oh, WWE pay-per-view. That was open match. Then after that was let's just say it was a mixed tag. It was Charlotte. I'm not Charlotte. Damn, Sasha Banks and Rich Swann against Alicia Fox and
Noam Dar.
Noam Dar. They could have saved that. Somewhere you could have let Dean and Miz go longer, whatever you could have did. Rich Swann went over his hometown. That's the best thing about it. He did some back, but he'll reverse whatever he did at the end for the pin was cool. Him and Sasha. Any thoughts on that one, Felicia?
I didn't hear a lot of what you said, but I know, you know, what match you were talking about. And, you know, I'm kind of over Sasha Banks. I've been over her, you know, call me what you want, indie fans, you know, smarts, whatever. But Sasha Banks, she's not a good promo. She's, you know, kind of flashy. I'll give her credit for her wrestling ability, for how short she, a shorter time she's been wrestling. But other than that, you know, as a face, she sucks. We know that. She should have been turned on Bailey. She should have been turned on, you know, whoever she was with, and now she acts like she loves them. No, you don't. You want that title, and you need to act like you want it. I just don't understand the story with her. She's not a good promo at all. Rich Swann, he's amazing. I just wish he stopped, you know, shucking and jiving, but that's part of his deal, you know. But he's amazing. That spot he did last night was beautifully done. It was so beautiful. And Alicia Fox, I mean, I'm a fan of hers. I don't think she gets nearly as much credit as she should get by right. You know, once again, if we are going by what we said earlier, Alicia Fox is a veteran too. And
she is a veteran.
I would like to see her with some more titles. And she's not a bad wrestler. She's not like her sister. Her sister's a bad wrestler, but she's a good wrestler. So,
who's her sister?
That girl, Christine, she was on a season of Tough Enough, and Stone Cold asked who her favorite wrestler was. And
I knew that was her sister.
Yeah, or was that Cameron? I don't know. I don't know. But Alicia Fox's sister, I think, is a wrestler as well. So. That might have been Cameron. I think that was Cameron. But
yeah, I thought Cameron said that.
Yeah. But Alicia Fox's sister is a wrestler, and she's not that great.
Okay. Well, I didn't know that. I gotta look her up. Can you hear me okay now?
Yes.
Okay. The Hardy Boys, Cesaro, Sheamus in the steel cage, and to me it was a good match. I'm not taking nothing away from it. It was a good match. Jeff Hardy jumped off the top of the cage, and at Jeff's age, I give him mad props. Matt climbed up there and fell off the top of that cage a couple of times. Mad props. I just thought that the match itself, like, because you know it was a match that was if the Hardy Boys won that match, they get to pick what match they can have at the pay-per-view, and they pick the steel cage. And I thought for a second, like, why would you want to be in a steel cage with these two brutes? Like, I would want to pick something where my speed would, you know, my speed would work and not being caged in with these two brutes. But good match. Sheamus and Cesaro escaped the cage at the same time. I thought that they were going to say they both hit at the same time, but they barely got out, you know, jumped down before Jeff out of the cage. And I didn't understand that either, because I always thought if you left the cage, then that's it. But if you didn't climb back in, you still got first.
Yeah, I never saw that before.
I never saw where they said, okay, he went back in the cage, so now he has to escape the cage again for the win. I'm like, wait a minute, I never understood it like that. That's something new they threw in there.
Exactly.
Yeah, Cesaro and Sheamus won. So I'm looking forward to the rematch of that. And I hope to save the end for the Hardy Boys, because I really enjoyed them being back in the WWE, and I want them to stay.
Yeah.
So I hope, you know, that it's not the end of their contract and they're going to go back to the indie scene or whatever. Like, stick around for a little bit. Let Jeff and Matt have an individual run if you want them to. You know, so that was that match. What am I missing?
Before we do the main event, I know there was something else in there.
Yes. There was the submission match between Neville. And Austin Aries. Good match. I'm an Austin Aries fan. I wanted to see him go over finally. You know, that's the third time they wrestled. on pay-per-view, and I just feel, okay, this is the time he's going to win. And no, he tapped out to Devil, but good friggin' match. If maybe they're putting Aries like back, I'm not saying mainstream, nothing like that, but maybe have him on Raw, a little bit more wrestling, bigger guys. You know, maybe going for like the IC belt, something like that, if you didn't want to put the cruiserweight on him. But Austin Aries can you know, both wrestlers are great wrestlers, and it was a good match, and I enjoy watching them two wrestle each other. I just don't want to see where they wrestle each other too much and it gets dry, because that was the third time, and I thought that they have a good chemistry with one another, and I hope they get along, because they throw some hard shots at one another. And Aries had chopped Neville halfway through this match. I was like, damn! Because it echoed throughout the whole entire arena. Like, he smacked the piss out of him. So, I hope they get along, because that was a real hard one. But good match. What did you think of it, Felicia?
I love those two. Kudos to Neville for, you know, growing and coming back and reinventing himself. He did a great job. I think he's a beast heel now, and I think a lot of the heels on the main roster can actually, you know, take a few notes from this guy that came from NXT. I think he's great. He talks well, he wrestles, you know, well, and he's just a good heel. And you know I love Austin Aries, so it really works out. And I don't want it to be, oh, just the cruiserweights, or, oh, just some ex-NXT people. I want it to be, you know, I want them to be close to main event one day, you know. They deserve it.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see where it goes. I like the feud, too. You know, I want to see Austin Aries go farther and get what he deserves. I want him to face, you know, some main roster people eventually. So
yeah.
We'll see. But, you know, so
we'll
far,
see.
So good.
That's pretty much what
they're
I'm saying, too.
Yeah, they're just moving a little slow with Austin. To me.
I was good. I was happy to see him with the cruiserweights, but now I want to see him get past that.
Yeah, like I feel like that's actually a step, you know, below him, but whatever.
Yeah. And the main event was a 5-way Extreme Rules match between Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins, Samoa Joe, Finn Balor, and who am I missing? Oh, Bray Wyatt.
Mm-hmm.
Good stuff. Good stuff. I think all five wrestlers did well. Even as much as I don't like Reigns worked last night. There was a lot of high spots. The timing was good. Halfway through, I'm like, Finn Balor's going to win this shit. Finn Balor's going to win this. But then when Joe won at the end, I was happy. Matter of fact, I think that's who I really wanted to see win it anyway. Like, I didn't want to see Seth or Roman win. That was a definite. Bray, I wouldn't have been too upset with. It is what it is. I definitely wanted to see Joe, and I think the WWE finally listened and said, okay, now we just set up the dream match, Brock Lesnar, Samoa Joe. And that's going to be a hard-hitting, suplexing, ass-kicking match.
Maybe not, though. You know, that's a dream match for me, but who knows what Brock is going to say. Maybe he knows, how good Samoa Joe is, and just like Dean Ambrose said, he might come in there and say, I don't want to do anything. I don't want to lay down. I love Brock, but he's a crybaby.
True that. True that. And I'm a Lesnar mark.
Mm-hmm.
But,
Me too.
He might show up. He might show up and say, you know what? Yeah, I don't feel like working that hard tonight.
And that sucks for Samoa Joe.
Mm-hmm. Because Joe is another one who I would say is a veteran, because he's been wrestling forever. He's been wrestling for a minute. He paid his dues. And to be a bigger guy with not that great a shape, but he's an ass kicker. He's like a big Taz to me. And he can suplex you however, he'll choke you out, he'll do whatever. And if they both decide they want to put on a good match, it'll work. but it has to be up to both of them. And I'm confident that Joe will do what he has to do as Brock.
Mm-hmm.
What was your opinion of the match?
Where were they again? What town were they in? Or city, whatever?
Baltimore.
I didn't like the crowd. For me, the match could have been great, but the crowd kind of messed it up for me. We really got to put away the "this is awesome" chant and the "holy shit" chant. It's just unnecessary. I mean, Roman Reigns pushes two guys. So Roman Reigns, who's what, upper, 200s, pushes two guys who are also in the 200s through a padded wall that a 5-year-old could eventually push down. And this is awesome, or holy shit, really? It's just not good. And you can't – it's getting to a point now where on Raw or on SmackDown they're saying this is awesome every match. Like, it's too much to say it once per show. Now you're saying it, like, once a match? It's not good. It's not a good look. And it's taking away the novelty and the exclusivity of wrestling. It's too much. Not everything is awesome. Not everything is holy shit. This isn't ECW. Like, that was holy shit. This is not.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Yeah, even CZW, you know?
Mm-hmm. I agree.
So,
they say it a little bit too much.
Yeah. So, I mean, the match was okay, but they kind of did too much for me with the crowd.
But Samoa Joe is the number one contender, and I'm looking forward to it.
Yes, that is my pick, and I did not think it would happen. But it happened.
And the next Raw pay-per-view is Great Balls of Fire.
Oh, my gosh. It's already getting buzz with the graphic that they put out. I don't know if you've seen it, but it looks a lot like a – yeah.
I was like, what the hell is the Honky Tonk Man coming back? I see the Cadillac and the stuff. Like, what they doing? Like, was it a new tag team or something? That's Great Balls of Fire. I'm like, oh, Lord.
Did you see the poster for it?
No, I didn't see the poster.
Oh, okay. I will send you the poster. The poster for it looks like a male member. It's two balls and this long streaming fire line coming out of it. And it looks a lot like something else.
Great Balls of Fire.
Mm-mm.
All right, that's a WWE report pay-per-view. Like I said, I give it a B-minus, C-plus. Yeah, I think they started out hot. It got dry in the middle. Finished strong. That's my opinion.
C-minus.
Now we're going.
Or C.
All right. Okay, we write about the same. We write about agreeance. Next we have a movie review.
OMG.
No.
Thanks, though.
The movie review is Wonder Woman. Dun, 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 dun. All the world is waiting for you. And the powerful things you do. Dun, 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 dun. All right, forget it. It was a good movie. I enjoyed it. DC finally, I think this is the closest DC has come to, like, knocking one out of the park. So hopefully Justice League will do it justice. And it was good to see a female-driven superhero movie. And she wasn't the sidekick or nothing like that. She was, like, the main superhero in this movie. And I thought it was pretty good. So I give it a 3. a three booty. What about you, Felicia?
Yeah, I'm going to give it a 3, too. I was looking at it two different ways. I'll be quick because I know we're nearing the end of the show. But I was looking at it from, like, a woman-led movie, too, because, you know, if it didn't do well, that, you know, they might have kind of ripped it apart or went full-on sexist. But she did really well, and the movie did well. I think I saw some reviews of 100-something. I don't know if it was 100 million, but we'll see. I forget what it was. But for her not to be, you know, a trained actress or, you know, coming up in the industry, she was a model. I think she did a great job, and I loved her from Superman vs. Batman, or Batman vs. Superman, whatever. And, you know, I think she'll do a good job carrying on, you know, Wonder Woman. And I'm a Marvel fan, so sorry, but DC is still a little bit behind, even with this great movie. They're behind in the cinema arms race.
And they are. That's what I said. This is probably the best one that they put out. And
right.
And just like you said, that girl being a model with a little training, they took a gamble, and the gamble paid off because she nailed it. Because I don't know who else she could have picked to play that part. Anne Hathaway, there's no way in hell I would have saw it. Or anything like that. So she was perfect. The movie was a lot of funny parts. There was a little bit of twist at the end, which I like. It was cool. It was cool. Just when I was in the theater, and this is just a little food for thought, and then we're going to wrap this up. But people, anybody that's listening, if you're in a movie theater and you're eating, shut your freaking mouth. Do not chew with your mouth open. It is disgusting. It is a bad habit. It is disturbing. That's all I got to say about it. Maybe no, I'm going to say something now. This chick was in a theater munching on this popcorn. It's bad enough she was munching like she ate 8 in 5 days. But then she started squeaking the popcorn in the teeth. I never heard popcorn squeak in your mouth. And to this chick. And halfway, I wanted to get up and move. Because that's how loud it was with this popcorn. Disgusting. It's a bad habit. Cut it the frick out. If you don't know how to conduct yourself in a movie theater, then don't go. And it also goes for the ass hat who was on his cell phone another time I went to the movie theater. Don't talk on your cell phone in the middle of a movie. That's rude. All right, let me get off my soapbox because we got to wrap this up. Any last words, Felicia?
No, everyone, you know, enjoys the weather. It's supposed to clear up toward the end of the week. Summer is near, so have fun, plan a trip, do something helpful, see some sights, and live, learn, laugh, love every day.
Everybody, have a good week. Next week will be everybody's out. Be safe. Keep an eye on your children because it's getting close to summertime and kids are out a little bit more. And it goes not just for small children, it's past teenage children. Kind of sort of know what your children is up to because these kids are walking around. So, outside of that, God bless you all. There's three different types of people in the world: those who don't know what happened, all right? God bless you all. See you next Monday. Peace.
Peace, bye, everyone.